Wow, we got all of the Tanakh today, didn't we? In one go, all of the mitzvot. And guess what? I've made a huge mistake. When I put my message together, I looked at it and I said, yes, I've got to read Devarim 3:23-7:11. And then guess what I've put beside it? If you have a look at my first passage, you'll see I've got Numbers, not Deuteronomy. So I thought, this is awesome. This lines up with the consecration. This is what I've got to do. So I'm going to do it anyway. So I'm speaking to you today out of Numbers, not out of Deuteronomy. So you'll have to forgive me. But I made a mistake. I admit it. It was a big week, but Yah's good. So I started off, isn't it wonderful to be able to consecrate little Babby today? And it was. It was absolutely amazing. And attention is one of the most powerful forces in the world. Along with food and water, a baby needs the attentive gaze of the human face. So the baby's joy, anger, or sorrow is reflected in the face of another. Psychologists speak of this as attunement. The baby realizes it is possible to be somehow connected or to be in tune with another human being. The face disappears and the baby tries to figure out how can it bring it back. How often have you played peekaboo with your baby and hidden your face with clothing or rug, then watched the smile or the giggle when you come back again? The face seems to become the mirror through which the child learns whether it's a source of delight or disappointment. A child simply cannot survive without the face. And the face is what tells a baby what's the matter. Now, I studied psychology as part of my teaching degree. So to me, it was one of the most interesting subjects, something I'd have liked to have researched further. But one of the psychologists that I did study was Erik Erikson. And he said, hardly has one learned to recognise the familiar. Whoops. Where's it gone? Just disappeared on me. I'll try again. Hardly has one learned to recognise the familiar face when he becomes also frightfully aware of the unfamiliar, the strange face, the unresponsive face, the averted face, the frowning face. And here begins the inexplicable tendency of one man's part to feel what he has caused the face to turn away, when it happens to turn elsewhere. Another psychologist was Gerald Egan, and he reports a study in which students, at a prearranged signal, switched from a slouched, passive, non-eye contact posture to leaning forward and looking attentively at the teacher. Gerald responded in a dramatic manner. When they reverted at another signal, he reverted back to his monotonous, monotone, and after some painful seeking for continued reinforcement from the students, he couldn't get anything until he became vibrant again. And that's why there are certain faces, even when we're speaking here, that we look towards. People that will respond to us and say, hey, yeah, I'm listening to you. We can see those sleeping, don't worry about it. We know you. But we also know those that are paying attention and those that are listening. And that's what's important about the face. There are certain faces that give you the encouragement that you need because they pay attention. Notice the attention is so valuable, they don't give it, they pay it. One of the greatest miracles in life is that Yehovah Elohim pays attention to us. And how do I know this? Well, he gave us the Shema, didn't he? And he also gave us the Aharonic blessing. And the Aaronic blessing says, may Yehovah bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and show you his favor. May Yehovah lift up his face towards you and give you peace. Face is what is spoken more of than anything else in that blessing. It is used in two of the three verses. Was that up on the screen? Sorry, it should have been.
Is that the right way to spell
Barmikar? No, it's wrong.
How do you spell it?
Just B apostrophe. You must have changed that.
Yes.
Well, you should have left it the way my mistake. You changed my mistake.
Yes.
You didn't have the right. No, I don't need you to cover me, honey. I've admitted my mistake. Because you made another one. Trying to cover it. Duh. I'm happy to admit I made a mistake. We all make mistakes, don't we? Yeah. Thank you, Paul. Love you, mate. Okay. So, when Yah lifted up his face towards us, he has to turn towards us. To lift up your face, you've got to turn your head in some way, up or down or around or whatever. You've got to turn towards us. This is not a casual listening or a preoccupied mind. He's saying, I'm giving you my attention. I'm paying undivided, wholehearted attention. I'm fully devoted to you. Are we fully devoted to him? Yehovah's face is not just turned to us. It's also, is it up there still? Shining on us. If it's shining on us, then it's a face of delight. Like a proud parent that shines and looks at its child. Our face grows radiant only in the presence of those we love most deeply. This is how Yehovah loves us. He loves us so deeply that his face shines. Over and over, the psalmist King David says to Yehovah, don't hide your face from me. The Gospel of Yochanan or John tells the story of a man that no one paid attention to. He spent his entire life being ignored. He was simply not worth noticing to most people. To say he was lonely was probably an understatement of a lifetime. He was blind. He was a beggar. People would try to look the other way. He would try to do something to catch their attention. He was used to being ignored. It was what he did for a living. He was just another face in the crowd. But then came a certain man, Yeshua. The first words in the story in Yochanan, John chapter 9 and verse 1, if we go there please. As Yeshua passed along, he saw a man blind from birth. He saw a man. Yeshua sees. Yah sees. How many years has it been since someone turned his face towards that man? Yeshua actually looked at him. He saw the hurt and the hopelessness of life that lived like an endless night, endless darkness of blindness. No one had ever seen this man like Yeshua saw him. Yeshua saw people who no one else ever looked at. He saw a tax collector, a woman desperate for healing at the hem of his garment, a widow giving in the offering of her last cent, as we would call it. Children of the disciples wanted to usher away little things from nature that often popped up in his teaching. In Yeshua's day, people believed in a cause and effect relationship between suffering and sin. They always thought there was a reason for the suffering. It made them feel better if they could think that a suffering person deserved their suffering. When we judge people, we feel less of an obligation to pay attention to them. So they put this man in a category and forgot him. Can we have that slide up, please? He was blind. That was just too depressing. He was a beggar. That was too demanding. He was a product of sin. That was too disgusting. How could he have been a product of sin if he was born blind? Someone once asked Mother Teresa what she saw as she walked the streets of Calcutta. She said, "I see Yeshua in a distressing disguise." Yochanan includes a detail that tells us how ignored this man had been after his healing, when he returned to his neighborhood. They asked, "Is not this the man who used to sit and beg?" In other words, is that the same person? Isn't this the man that used to sit and beg? They couldn't recognize him. They hadn't known him all his life. He'd been blind all his life, and all of a sudden they can't recognize him. He'd been begging in that same place, but they didn't even know what he looked like. They hadn't paid attention. Have you ever felt unnoticed, ignored, alone? If you could just get someone to notice how bad you were hurting. Well, as you probably all know, I'm an Aspie, or living with autism spectrum diversity or difference. And I have very real feelings, especially when speak over me or just ignore any input that I want to put in. I may not be a movie buff, don't like movies in any sense of the word. I don't enjoy a joke, goes right over my head. But I do enjoy a movie that's based on a true story. And there was a movie many years ago, a short classic film made in 1973 called Cipher in the Snow, and which retains the power of its message even today. The film is based on a true story. That's virtually the only movies I'd like to watch. Basically about a young boy, the cipher of the title, who simply falls dead in the snow one morning after a bus ride. The teacher who investigates what happened finds that the boy had no real friends and essentially died of loneliness. The poor little thing was probably an Aspie. The teacher learns that he was the boy's favourite teacher, but he hardly even remembers who the boy was. There are many people out there today like that. I've talked to many people like that. Different faces, different details, but the same feelings. I've counselled many people, prayed with many people, and I myself has been that person. But they are there. People don't recognise you. People don't acknowledge you. But that's okay, because Yeshua sees. He sees all. Yah sees all. 1 Corinthians 26 to verse 28 says, "Just look at yourselves, brothers. Look at those whom Elohim has called. Not many of you are wise by the world's standards. Not many wield power or boast noble birth. But Elohim chose what the world considers nonsense in order to shame the wise. Elohim chose what the world considers weak in order to shame the strong. Elohim chose what the world looks down on as common or regards as nothing in order to bring to nothing what the world considers important." Yeshua understands. In Yeshayahu 53 and verse 2, please. "For before him he grew up like a young plant, like a root out of a dry ground. He was not well formed or especially handsome. We saw him, but his appearance did not attract us. That is speaking of Yeshua. He wasn't someone that the world would come up to and say, now that's a man of stature. That's a man of authority. That's a he was nothing to the world. And the people don't even believe he's been to this very day. The Jewish people, they don't acknowledge him. They've never accepted him. We all know the story of Hagar in Bereshit, where Sarai, Abraham's wife, had not borne him a child. She had an Egyptian slave. She was an Egyptian slave girl. So she convinced Abraham to sleep with Hagar. Sarai did. Hagar then conceives a child to Abraham, but then she looks on Sarai with contempt. Sarai is not happy, so she speaks to Avram. Now, they're not Abraham and Sarah yet. They're in the days of Avram and Sarai. So Sarai treats Hagar badly. So Hagar runs away. She's out in the wilderness. And Yah sends a messenger, usually known as the angel of the Lord, to speak to her. The messenger tells her that she will have many descendants, and to call the son that she is carrying Yishmael, which means Elohim or Yehovah pays attention. Yishmael, El pays attention. She was even given the information about his character, his personality, and information on how he will live at odds with everyone else. And they're still living at odds with everybody else. So then we get to verse 13, and Bereshit chapter 16, verse 13, please. So she named Yehovah, who had spoken with her, El Roi, God of seeing. And in Tehillim, Psalms 34:15, it says, the eyes of Yehovah watch over the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Kephar Aleph, or 1 Peter 3:12. For Yehovah keeps his eyes on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of Yehovah is against those who do evil things. So when we play peekaboo, I see you. There is in the Tanakh. It's in the Tanakh as Yehovah sees. While in the Kedavah HaShalakim, it's Yeshua who sees. That is Yah's personality in the flesh. In Shemot, Exodus chapter 2 and verse 25, please. Elohim saw the people of Israel, and Elohim acknowledged them. And Malachim Beit, or 2 Kings 14, 26, for Yehovah saw how bitterly Israel had suffered, with no one left, either slave or free, or no one coming to Israel's aid. Eov, or Job, had questions at first, but he came more and more confident as his trial went on that Yah could actually see him. And I'll go through a few of those scriptures. In Eov, Job 10 and verse 4, Eov is questioning, do you have eyes of flesh? Do you see as humans see? He's questioning Yehovah. And then he goes in chapter 23, verses 8 to 10. He's changing his tack. If I head east, he isn't there. If I head west, I don't detect him. If I turn north, I don't spot him. In the south, he is veiled. I still don't see him. Yet he knows the way I take when he has tested me, that I will come out like gold. Eov can't see him, but he knows that Yehovah can see Eov. And that was 23, 8 to 10. In 28, verse 10, and he cuts out galleries in the rock while watching for something of value. His eyes are looking for something of value. In 31 verse 4, doesn't he see my ways and count all my steps? So he started off thinking, yeah, I didn't see anything. Now he's saying, hey, he sees my ways. He counts all my steps. And in 34:21, for he keeps watch on a person's ways and he sees every step. In Tehillim, Psalms 94, verse 9. Will the one who planted the ear not hear? Will the one who formed the eye not see? And Shamuel Aleph, 1 Samuel 16, 7. But Yehovah said to Shamuel, don't pay attention to how he looks or how tall he is, praise Yah, because I have rejected him. Yehovah doesn't see the way humans see. Humans look at the outward appearance, but Yehovah looks at the heart. In Yeshayahu, Isaiah 66 and verse 2, it's Yeshayahu says, Yehovah says to Yeshayahu, didn't I myself make all these things? This is how they came to be, says Yehovah. The kind of person on whom I look with favour is one with a poor and humble spirit who trembles at my word. In other words, who follows his word and obeys it. In Matityahu chapter 6 and verse 6, but you, when you pray, go to your room, close the door and pray to your Father in secret. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That is it. That's the comfort. I'm supposed to be content because Yah sees me? Not quite. The Elohim who sees is moved with compassion. You also need to realize that when Yeshua, who is Yah in the flesh, sees, Yah sees and vice versa. Matityahu 9 verse 36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harried and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And in 14 verse 14, so when he came ashore, he saw a it says, when Yeshua saw their trust, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven you. It wasn't even the paralyzed man's faith or trust, for he had lost his own over all those years. But it was the friends who saw him, were with him, his friends' trust, that helped him be healed. But he did have to be willing to participate in what Yah wanted to do with him. Yehovah saw the faith of the Talmudim and Yah moved. Some people have spiritual attention deficit disorder. The work of Yah is the work of paying attention. We can't afford to have attention deficit disorder when we're connected to Yah and the things that mean so much to him. When you pay attention, you say, you are the most important thing in my world right now. Right now, we need to pay attention to the moving spirit of the Ruach HaKodesh. He is the most important priority, whether it's in this service today, whether it's in our lives every day. Do we start our day and put our total attention on him first thing of a morning? Do we give him our day and spend time with him so that everything will go right with us for the rest of the day? This is what I mean by Yah sees. He knows. He sees whether you are thinking of him first before anything else. The Hebrew scriptures in the Tanakh give us the phrase, the pupil, or as some scriptures will say, the apple of Yah's eye. The apple of the eye is actually referring to the pupil of the eye. In Tehillim or Psalm 17 and verse 8, it says, protect me like the pupil of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. For Yehovah to be able to protect you like the pupil of his eye, that to lose that pupil, you lose sight of everything. So you want that protected. And if you pray according to the scriptures, Yah will do it for you. In Zechariah or Zechariah 2:8, it says, "For Yehovah Zevaot has sent me on a glorious mission to the nations that plundered you." And this is why he says, "Anyone who injures you injures the very pupil of my eye." That's how much Yah loves us. For anyone to hurt us hurts him. And another way of saying causes an injury of blindness towards him. Yah loves you so much that there is no way that he wants you to be blinded in any way. He wants you to trust him and know that he sees all. He knows what you are going to do and say before you do it. Everyone is accountable for what they do and say to others on this earth and will be judged in that way. And I praise Yah for that, because of the way I have been treated in the workplace and in my life over my past 73 years. You know, I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for Yah. If it wasn't for him, because no church would let me there. I'm too short. I can't even reach the pulpit. I'm not joking. They just don't, you don't look right. You know, it doesn't matter what you've got to share, or it doesn't matter how much you love Yah, or what you're trained in or not trained in. They look, as I said, on the outward appearance. But they're all going to be judged one day. All going to be judged. So I don't have to worry about it. Because Yah had his way anyway. Yes, we have a loving, compassionate and forgiving Yah. But we have to live our lives to be worthy of that, and then he will always turn his face towards you, make his face shine on you and show you his favour and give you the peace that he promises. So I'm sorry that that didn't line up with the parasha, but it did line up with our baby, and Yah knows. We will now go to the remembrance service.